B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block. Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Yo, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocks the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
Good morning. Buddy, happy Tuesday across the Delaware Valley. It is Tuesday, April the 21st, 2020, draft week. We got 2 days before the NFL draft. What are the Eagles going to do? And as we sit here and forget all the glitches and what might happen with the virtual NFL draft, it's the historical NFL draft as we battle through the pandemic of 2020. What in the world are they going to do? And I keep going. I ask that question. And, you know, again, it's long. You know, it's an entire draft. But we're focused on the first round because everything goes from the first round on. And I asked the question. What are they going to do? And I keep coming back to the same answer. I keep coming back that there's only one option, and that is the option to trade up. Every other scenario does not fit what they need. And I still, again, and I know I'm a pig head. I got a oinker head. All right, all pork. I get it. But you got to tell me how anyone less than Lamb or Ruggs makes sense, or Judy, how those guys make sense to you. You got to tell me. You got to tell me how a team that is devoid of an outside receiver would not trade up and mitigate risk, particularly when those three are considered the best of a very, very good draft class. You got to tell me how, and I would agree with all the Justin Jefferson people out there, that Justin Jefferson can play in this league. I believe that. I do. But I also believe that he's best suited out of the slot. And you got to tell me how that's good for the Eagles. And how, well, the argument goes, you know, you go get your slot guy, you get Jefferson, and then you can get your speed guy later. So once again, you're taking a risk that an outside speed guy, an outside receiver, forget speed guy, outside receiver is going to pan out. Tell me where that makes sense. I don't understand. They have the two worst, slowest receivers right now on the outside. Arthego Whiteside and Alshon Jeffrey can't play. Arthego Whiteside can't play. And Jeffrey is a mess, not to mention the injury and the issues. And that, and he can't run. He runs in mashed potatoes. I mean, you got to tell me how they need, this is a team that needs two outside receivers. How in the world is it smart to wait and get the outside receiver next? I don't understand. Like Denzel Mims, I think he can play. I think he's decent. But I know that Ruggs and Lamb are can't misses. At least more can't miss than Denzel Mims. Chase Claypool, he's a tight end. All right? He's a hybrid tight end. T. Higgins is big. I mean, these guys are all the shit. You got that. You don't need anymore. I don't know. I mean, you know, again, he's got injury issues. Can he run? Maybe. Is he Nelson Aguilar, another Pac-12 guy? Maybe. Aguilar can run. Couldn't catch. You know, I mean, that's why it just makes perfect sense to trade up and get the playmaker for the quarterback. I could see that they need linebackers. I could see they need another safety. Without a doubt, I wouldn't be against another edge rusher. However, when you put it all in perspective, in the proper team building, they need a playmaking receiver for Wentz. How long are you going to go without him having his guy? I don't understand why he doesn't have his guy already. That I think it's complete negligence, borderline malfeasance. There's only one way to go in this draft, and that's to move up. Good morning, Chunas.
What's up, Ant? I couldn't agree with you more. How about that?
Well, I appreciate that.
Unless Henry Ruggs falls to 21, like Dan Orlovsky was saying this morning, and I don't know, there's more and more people saying it all of a sudden. Like, I'm with you. I don't see how he falls, but all of a sudden, it's Orlovsky, it's Kuiper, it's this guy, it's the next guy.
Well, Orlovsky said what?
That Ruggs could drop to 21.
I don't understand that. I don't understand it. I don't get that a little bit.
There must be something that we just are that there. It's not reported that we just don't know.
Dude, I've been talking around the league. I don't hear anything about him. I spent 45 minutes with a guy last night that I trust. Who's up on that on these kids?
Yeah, I just don't understand. I mean, I'm with you. You got to trade up to get one of these guys. But I don't know. The more and more I hear about, is it actually possible that he falls to 21 and then you don't have to move at all? And that's perfect scenario.
Okay, but why even risk it? Because you're not going to know.
Right, you won't know until it happens, if it happens.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I it doesn't even matter to me. You're not going to hit on all your picks. Yeah, I mean, in a utopian world, we get that one draft, the Brian Westbrook draft. Where you got Michael Lewis and Lito Shepard and Sheldon Brown. And that was one of the great drafts of all time. But just give me the one playmaker, all right? And then I hope I can fill in with a back and a linebacker and a safety and another receiver. And if I hit on a couple of those guys, great. But just give me a Pro Bowl wide receiver that's a playmaker. And then I'll give you a team that's got a chance to make a Super Bowl run. I mean, I don't understand the other side. Usually I get this side. I don't get the other side of the argument. As good as I think Jefferson can be in the league, is he going to be a difference maker on the outside, create space? How many times you got any slot guys you need? This whole team's a slot. It's all slot. Outside is where you make space happen. That's where you have to have a safety shade over. Outside is how your quarterback is going to let that arm loose. Outside, Tunis.
Yeah, and we talk about it. I mean, how often did we actually see Carson with a deep threat? You saw Torrey Smith, who wasn't really good until the final couple weeks of the season. But just the threat alone sort of made Carson Wentz a better quarterback. Well, he hasn't had that outside receiver.
And that's my frustration, and that's my exasperation. I mean, you know, if I hear the outside Jeffrey thing, right? Like, oh, he can't throw deep. Because remember this whole idea that this notion that was out there that Wentz can't throw the long
ball? Yeah, his accuracy was bad over like 40 yards or something.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. If you got a guy that can't run, how can you tell?
Or if you have a guy that can't track a ball, like Nelson Aguilar. I mean, how many times did we see it last year?
Dude, the fact that that guy was on this team for this long is enough to make me scream and holler. It's enough to go, hey, look, you know what? I'll put myself against any GM, all right? Because he's not on my squad. said it consistently. If you can't track a ball, you can't catch a ball. If you can't dodge a wrench,
yes,
you can't dodge a ball. I mean, really, I want to throw a wrench. I wanted to throw a wrench in his head. So I don't know that he can't throw the deep ball. Ah, Foles was that. Foles would throw it up. The beauty of Foles and why he had success with Jeffrey can't run, right? So it's like, let me throw an entry pass. And that's what he did. He basically threw post-up for passes. Hey, go get it. I'm to believe that Wentz can't throw downfield? Until I got a burner that's legitimate on one side, he's got to show me he can't do it. Because I don't believe it.
Tell me Shelton Gibson wasn't legit? Mac Hollins wasn't legit?
Hey, you're talking trash juice.
Yeah, they drafted Mac Hollins to be a special teams player and an outside receiver.
I never understood. Like, I don't understand how they can't get an outside weapon. I mean, and all due respect to McNabb, I mean, look, I can criticize him with the best of them. But before they got T.O., wasn't like he had guys either. And we're going through this again.
It's deja vu right now, which is scary.
We're going through this again. I can't take it. I can't take this. We've had no receivers. In the same vein, I can't take we got no power-hitting outfielders.
No power pitchers.
Same vein, we got no power pitchers.
Finally got a goalie, we think. Right. And now we got a guard who can't shoot.
Oh, I'm nervous about this draft. I'm on edge. I'm on edge about this draft.
It's going to be a long two more days.
I know. I'm on edge, man. I really am. I'm on edge about the draft. I'm praying. And you're my witness. I tried to do my part in this whole thing.
Yes, you have.
I set out my opinions and well wishes.
Yep. Not just the echo chamber.
You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
610-632-0975.
Hello.
Getting started. We're going to choose. We're going to throw back today to the Carson Wentz draft. How about that? In Chicago.
Which you were in attendance for.
Yes, I was. The bro was there with his Zubaz.
Yes, yes.
Hugging Jesse Jackson. The bro.
That was a fun draft.
That was a great draft. That was a great draft. That was the Laramie Tunsil draft.
Wow, was it really? Yeah, because I remember talking about, like, on the air, what they would do at 8 if they didn't trade up to 2.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the Tunsil draft.
Wasn't Zeke drafted that year, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ezekiel Elliott was in that draft. Sure. There's a couple called Lyman draft. Yeah. It's a good draft.
Yeah, it really was. All right, lots to get to. Busy day. It's a Tuesday, 2 days before the draft. Hey, it's crazy. Apparently, you can bet on the NFL draft. Not in Pennsylvania, but in New Jersey, you can actually bet on the draft. Did you know this?
Yes, but I knew that you couldn't do it in PA.
We're going to have a betting expert on the draft. Brad Feinberg, our NBC Sports Philly expert, is going to join us today. Give us a little insight for those people out there. Looking to wager on the draft. That's crazy. All right, 610-632-0975. It's Cuz Radio with Chunis right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
10 o'clock hour brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
All right, welcome back. Cause Radio Tunis right here on this Tuesday. I'm waiting and I'm waiting and I'm waiting and I'm nervous. And I'm nervous. I'm nervous. If they mess this up, I fear that they're done for a couple years. Is that too harsh?
Maybe. I get why you say that, because the top talented receivers that are coming out of the draft this year. But if they end up, I don't know, hitting on a corner or a linebacker or a lineman or something.
Forget that for 1 second. How is the offense going to get better? How's the offense going to get better without an outside receiver?
I don't know, unless they get one of those guys in rounds two or three that aren't locks, like a guy like Henry Ruggs or anybody else in the top, you know, those top three, top four. But maybe you at least have a deep threat, and then that helps. I don't know. And then
I'm worried about having a deep threat who's really not a deep threat, who's not a threat. He's a deep threat who's not a threat.
Yeah, he's got speed, but that's about it.
And that's Torrey Smith. Like, I mean, come on, these guys. Guys can't play. I mean, we got guys who are deep threats who aren't really deep threats.
Right.
You can't win like that. Why do you want to play? And again, that's another reason why the kid gets hurt. Because he's trying to make a play when there's no weapons out there to make a play.
Yeah, he's holding on to the ball too long because there's nobody open. And he's got to learn to throw it away. But at the same time, it's every play.
You know what? And seriously. Like, this notion, looks in, it's what he does. You try throwing at these pikers. He's trying to make something happen. Let's be real here for a second. Let's be real. All the criticism that was unleashed on him last year, right? There was a ton of criticism. Before the final four games.
Oh, it was painful. Oh, my God, yeah.
They were killing this kid, right? Killing him. How many excuses are you going to make? What are you going to say?
Your boy.
Right. But in fairness, look who the hell he's got playing. What? How is that not an apt argument? I'm still angry over Nelson Agholor being on this team.
9 million.
And people would defend him. What in the world are you watching that you would defend that stiff? That stiff stinks. Horrible.
It's crazy. He got $9 million from the Eagles, and then he got league minimum this year from the Raiders. Or right around league minimum. And he got $9 million guaranteed last year.
Stinks. I told him. Never mind. I reached out to the Raiders. I said, "Are you crazy?" Anyway, by the way, I'm hearing that not good news about Dillard.
What?
Yeah.
What is it? What is it?
I'm hearing that he's not that good.
Wow. Okay. I must have something wrong with my eyes then, because I don't know. I thought he played pretty damn well, unless they gave him a lot of help on that left side.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it was?
I have to be honest. I got to go back. I haven't seen the tape. I mean, I don't know. I remember last year watching it, whatever. I don't remember, studying Dillard.
But I just remember those four games doing, the post-game show afterward and just being like, wow, you know what? Who really kind of stood out to me because I tried paying attention to him was Dillard. He did good today. And the only game I was upset was the first couple of plays when, of course, Peters went down again, and Dillard goes out there. The first couple of plays, he just got beat off the jump every single time because he went in rusty. And then, of course, the game where he gets pulled at halftime because he's playing right tackle. And he gave Doug Peterson the heads up saying, remember, it was like that Wednesday, somebody asked him, what's it like going from left tackle to right tackle? Oh, well, you've been writing right-handed your whole life, and you switched to left-handed. What do you think?
Yeah.
Those were the only two games that I think he actually struggled. Well, what do I know?
Dude, I listen, it's not that what you know. It's more, again, if you haven't, I mean, you know how this is. I mean, we don't sit there. We didn't analyze what he looks like. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, you can watch a game in the course of a game, but you're not honing in on what's going on with him unless you're really breaking down the tape. I mean, I'm telling you, honestly, I break down tape. I didn't break down that. I haven't broken down that.
Yeah, like I remember.
I'm just telling you, guy says to me, people say to me, your boy's not that good.
Well, and the other thing is, remember when that first sort of bogus report came out about them shopping him, and then, of course, a couple of days later, they say we're not bringing Peters back just to sort of solidify that. Remember they were talking about his mental toughness and how, you know, he's a guy that gets upset a lot. And remember during camp last year, he got in fights like 2-3 days in a row. Like, he was just letting players get to him.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's what it is, coupled with the talent.
All I can tell you is I hope he can play. I mean, that's your draft last year. I mean,
yeah, it
looks
really
like Sanders can play.
Sanders,
that's
yeah.
good. But if Dillard can't play, then that's an abomination.
I don't know. And,
can I tell you what this guy told me?
Yeah, give me the words.
And I don't want to. I feel guilty putting it out there because I'm not saying this because I haven't seen it, but he said he's worse than the fireman.
No way.
That was my response, but, you know. Again, this is all in conversation, right? You know, maybe the guy's off.
I just remember legitimately being angry.
I'm saying, you know, worse than the fire.
Yeah. I was angry when Doug Peterson said, you were there, and we're doing the show together. I was angry when Doug Peterson said, yeah, it's Jason Peters' job when he comes back.
Yeah.
I was like, no. I think Andre's doing pretty damn good.
Yeah, I think it's coming from the coaches, to be honest with you.
I can't wait for him to prove that hit them wrong, and then I'm a genius.
Then I hope you're right. I do.
They need a new offensive line coach? Zero experience? I'm their guy.
No. I mean, I don't know. I hope he can play. But I was, when he said he was worse than fireman, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's a shiver down your spine when you hear that. Dude, you're like, oh my God, another first round pick.
Dude, they drafted Fireman Sam. Fireman Sam. They drafted Fireman Sam. We're talking draft now, right? This is draft week. They drafted a 26-year-old, 25-year-old guard out of Baylor. What? Now, is that one of the all-time horrific picks?
Yeah, it's probably up there.
Well, how would you take a guard out of Baylor? Huh? As a top pick?
Yeah, that's probably up there. Considering also, yeah, it was early in the draft. I mean, this was like a seventh round pick.
I know.
Like Jordan Mailata, where you go, all right, we got him in the seventh round. Let's see what we can do.
That makes sense. Yeah, I'm down with that.
You're going first round.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
On the text board, Bubba says, I'm more angry that Arthego Whiteside is on this team and DK Metcalf is not.
Yeah, that's going to be – that debate will go until football's done.
Man.
The day they end football, we'll still be having that debate.
Yeah. That's a heinous selection. That's why, you know, and that selection, you know, is an indictment on why other people – why people should let their football people draft. That you just because you own something, maybe you shouldn't be a draft. You shouldn't be a draft selector.
Emotional intelligence.
Yeah, just saying. Maybe that's could be the case. Possibly.
Jesus.
Let's get it started on the phone line, shall we? Sam is in Seattle. Sammy, we say.
Yo, how you doing?
What's up, Sammy?
Hey, Anthony, if Dillard is a bust, or if he, what, you're somebody told you what he looks like now. I'm done with Pac-12. If he's a bust, I'm done with Pac-12. And I want those guys.
Pac-12, period.
Bro, Rain doesn't build character, dude. All these Seattle dudes he drafted, Dillard, and even the guy from Stanford. Like,
oh, Sidney Jones, man. I'm hoping. Listen, I'm hoping that he can play. Right, I am. But again, I'm just telling you what I was told.
I hope he gets a shot, man. I hope they don't just judge it off of. You know how sometimes we're like, what happened to that guy? Well, maybe he just sucks in practice. They can't start him now. He's a first round pick. They're gonna throw him out. We're gonna find it. It's not gonna be a mystery. Like, oh, well, the certain guy we like.
Yeah, we'll find out.
We're gonna find out.
Yeah.
But about how? Yeah, because like all they do is shout. It rains. All they do is sip coffee on their couch. When you're building character, it's not hot. It doesn't get hot. It doesn't. You don't get piles of snow. You're not building character sitting on your couch drinking a latte, man. These guys are a bunch of softies. They all have talent. Like they have all the traits coming out. What don't they have? Heart. It's always, he's just soft. He's just so soft.
Well, I mean, look at Sidney Jones. That's how soft my man is. Oh, my God.
All these Pac-12 dudes. Aguilar.
I agree. Aguilar. Think about the slop Pac-12. Right? Think about it.
He's always apologizing. Shut up. Say something mean. What do you keep apologizing for? Sorry, I dropped a pass. No, shut up. Catch it. It's just all these bums out of Pac-12. And the guy... And then
the only one that comes to mind that could play is Ertz.
Oh yeah, you're right. But you know, but like, so I just want to say, because you know what I do for a living, so I'm podcasted out. Like everything that says Eagles mock draft or Eagles potential, this is what's going to come down to 21st. These are the players that are coming down. So I'm podcasted out. I just want to say, from everything I saw or read or heard. Like you said, moving up is the only thing that makes sense. Just move up. Get one of those three guys. I don't want Jefferson. I don't want Jordan Matthews. I don't want him. He's Jordan Matthews. I know you keep saying he's not. That's what he is. I don't want him. Just move up. Just give up your third, second. Give up a second next year. Give up. Give the man some talent. Give him some speed. And then all these players that are get available. I blame the Eagles Twitter for it because I don't know if Howie's really in on all these players that potentially are available when they're, you know, for trades. I blame the Eagles Twitter, but if there was one guy that I wanted Howie to be in, it was Hopkins. Why is he not an Eagle?
Well, I mean, the problem with Hopkins goes back to you can't afford him.
Yeah, because your previous mistakes, right?
You can't afford the guy. I mean, that's the bottom line.
But all these players that we have our favorites going into the draft, right? We had DK Metcalf. We had Earl Thomas, right? We had all these players that we talk about. We have so many that never get picked. This time, just give us Ruggs. Just give us. You guys.
Ruggs or Lamb, I mean, or Judy. But, I mean, I think Ruggs or Lamb are the guys I really want. Yeah.
Thank for Dalvin Cook. He's not an Eagle. Just one time, give me Ruggs.
I know. I'm with you, Sammy. I'm with you, brother. Hopefully we'll be celebrating on Friday, man. Thank you, pal. I want to celebrate on Friday. I want to toast on Friday. Don't you?
Yeah, I would do that. I think the Jack is still here.
Right?
Yeah. We need a new song.
That was symbolic, though. I can't believe how short-lived that was, dude.
Literally.
11-10. We were so excited. 11-10 every day during the show, you would play it.
I saw them taking it off my board.
No, I mean, it was Winston Jackson. We used to get excited.
It happened twice in one half.
Dude.
And then it just went away.
He was good. I'll always like Deshaun, all right? You know, I start to think, hey, what if they drafted Lamb or Ruggs, right? They traded up, they got one of the two. And Deshaun can play. Now, are you kidding me?
And now you got speed on both sides.
All right? Are you kidding me?
And J.J. Arcega-Whiteside gets catches just because, you know, the other guys are getting all the attention.
Are you? Forget him. He's not even on the field.
You got Greg Ward.
Ward out of the slot. Ertz and Goddard. Ertz, like, slash or Goddard. With Lamb Ruggs. Lamb slash Ruggs on one side and Jax on the other. Like, that, are you kidding me now?
Or hopefully more than a quarter.
Right? No, but again, I'm not counting on it because I'm drafting one of those kids. But imagine, though, if he can play. And then you got those two guys on the outside.
Yeah, that'd be incredible.
With Ertz working the slot. And Sanders on a wheel route. Now imagine what your offense looks like.
And call me crazy, you could do, I guess, like an NFL version of load management. Just play Deshaun a certain amount of snaps.
Sure.
Right? You got the speed in one of those young kids, and then maybe you wait till the fourth quarter and really have him on the field every single play.
Well, I mean, you know, whatever. But you, he'll get his touches, and he'll get his rest. And but basically, you're looking at it. Could you imagine that offense there? Aaron, West Philly. Could you imagine that, Aaron?
All that speed, Ant.
Oh, that's my dream.
I love that speed, man.
That's my dream, Aaron.
Here's my problem, man. Hey, you do a college football show, right, Ant?
Yes, sir.
So you know college football. To a certain, you know a lot of college football.
Yeah.
Do you think Howie knows
college football? I'm not Herb Street, but, you know.
I mean, do you think Howie knows college football?
I mean, he's a general manager of an NFL team. I got to believe that, right?
Yeah, we got to believe it. Yeah, okay. I believe. Okay.
But you know what I'm saying, right? I mean, listen, I got to believe it because if you're the general manager, first of all, you got to hold the part, right? You got guys that are scouts all around the country. You got you got a college guy. I mean, you got plenty of guys to lean on.
Right. And then you have your own
two eyes. Like, it's not that deep.
I don't trust his two eyes. I don't trust his two eyes. But
you know what I'm saying? Look, but here's the thing. It's not some rocket science, right? Like, it's just not. I mean, you can tell who can play, who can't. Like, who pops, right?
How can you tell by the draft?
You put on a tape. No, but I'm talking about first round, right? I'm not talking about, hey, look, there's diamond in the rough and all this other stuff. But you look and you go, oh, that dude can play.
But you just said, you know, Dillard don't look like he's a first round pick. I mean, you know, you just gave me a report.
Maybe I should keep my big mouth shut. But I felt like I had to pass the law. Again, I qualify it with, dude said he can't play. I don't know. I hope the guy's wrong. Right, it's a guy I trust. That's why I said it. But I hope he's
wrong too.
I hope he's wrong. I hope the kid can play. I don't know.
But I don't believe like Howie would give up like saying Lamb is the apple of my eye. I don't think he wants Lamb. I don't think he wants Lamb because when do he ever come out and say I want a pick? I never heard him come out and say he wants somebody.
Well, he never says anything.
Right, so he going to put
who's putting that out there?
You didn't hear that Howie said that he was the apple of his eyes? You didn't hear
that? I heard the report. No.
Right.
I heard the report.
But you don't believe it?
I don't know. I mean, listen, there's always reports out there.
Okay, but I kind of was on a podcast and he kind of, you know.
We'll see. I mean, listen, why wouldn't he be the apple of his eye?
Because he probably wants somebody else. Like it's a diversion.
But here's let's be real. Why wouldn't C.D. Lamb be the apple of his eye?
I mean, he should be.
Well, all right, exactly.
But you don't.
He's the apple of our eyes.
Was Wentz the apple of his eye? Was Wentz the apple of his eye?
Yes.
Yeah, but he didn't never tell us that. We didn't know he was getting Wentz. He just moved up, and we thought it was golf. He didn't say who it was going to be. That's why I don't understand what's going on in this draft.
No, but again, you can't judge by, you know, people put stuff out there, and you know, there's all kinds of things. You know, who knows where they get it from, and you know, whatever.
Did you hear Dan this morning? Did you hear Dan a lot?
No, I didn't. I did not.
Okay, he said 21. stand pat because you're going to get rugs at 21.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I heard a couple people said that. Though,
yeah,
right?
I know. Peter King said it, and so did. And so did Mel Kiper.
Right. Kind of reputable people right there. There's some good people right there.
But here's the thing, though. Here's the thing, Aaron. They are. They're all good, and I respect, you know, I like Dan Orlovsky a lot. I respect Peter King. But these guys don't have a crystal ball.
Right.
And I don't know how in the world that Ruggs lasts. With all due respect to Dan, I'm not willing to take that risk.
Okay, I got you. Just hearing
why,
say,
by the way, why
would going
I,
on.
I mean, why wouldn't I trade up and if I go get C.D. Lamb? Why would I do that?
I mean, you should do that, but who's going to want to do that with you and try to what you're willing to give up?
There's plenty of teams. Listen, I'm willing to give up my second-round pick to ensure that I have a weapon on the outside. Aaron, thanks, my brother. Yeah. I love you. Be safe. You know. I'm willing to move up. I don't care about who so-and-so says they're going to be there. What does that mean? I mean, these mock drafts. Are you crazy? Listen to mock draft? Seriously, Junis?
Yeah, they change constantly.
Who cares what? I mean, listen, again, I listen to Dan Orlovsky. He's talking about quarterbacks, and he's talking about, you know, how to build a team and an offense. And I'm, yeah, Dan, go ahead. I'm listening. But if you're going to tell me, he's definitely going to beat it, I'm not listening to that. I've been around too many drafts, man. Just give me a break. No way am I listening to that nonsense. And by the way, the apple of his eye, I would fire him if C.D. Lamb wasn't the apple of his eye.
Right. Yes. He's not saying if he can get third eye. He's saying, hey, I like C.D. Lamb.
Now, I don't even know who said what or why he was the apple, but give me a break. We're talking about C.D. Lamb.
He had a great line. He said he's the whole orchard.
He is. Awesome. Let me give you a break. That's what I'm saying. Like, why are we complicating things? 610-632-0975. I get a text on the text board. If he likes Lamb, go Judy. What? Are you kidding me? Does he have that little... And we got to do this, man. I need a poll today.
Okay.
I need the Howie and the whole personnel office confidence level.
Okay.
Right now. All right? Going into this draft. Because I got people going, if he likes Lamb, go Judy. No, you can trust your eyes and go Lamb. Right, Junis?
Yes. It's like Skandrick. Remember, Skandrick said if he told me it was raining outside, I'd wear shorts.
Exactly. People are crazy. 610-632-0975. It's Cuz Radio with Junis right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, welcome back. 10:52 on this Tuesday. Actually looking forward to something to look forward to, right? We got a little draft action. It'll be great. So looking forward to that. I'm curious what people are thinking and what their confidence is in the Eagles brass. I mean, right now on a text board. VG, do the opposite. Howie's eyes with receivers are cockeyed. Jim from the Palm. I'm not sure we can have faith in them when, as you say, Howie didn't make the Whiteside pick, but it was it the owner's call? Who's making the pick? I will tell you this, and I'll speak in generalities when it comes to owners making selections. And yes, I hinted at maybe it wasn't Howie's pick. And I will tell you that there are times when, and organizations, when owners get selections. Not just Jerry Jones. He's out in the open with it, and he's the GM. But guys that have been around a league, guys that own a team, guys feel like, hey, this is my business. I know how to make a pick. I want to be smart. I'm a rich guy, and I also want to be a smart rich guy. So, like, you know, they all think they're sports guys. And I guess, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what makes you not a sports guy, what makes you a sports guy. If you're around it every day, Junis, are you a sports guy?
You would think that they are, depending on what they're...
If you're around every day, in the inside now, right?
Yeah, but it depends on what their everyday business is.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, you could be a part of the team's social media every day.
You know what's amazing? The job of GM, right? The job, think about this for a second. Because we just saw the Jordan documentary. Jerry Krause, all right? Think about this for a second. Jerry Krause was the general manager who tried to break up the Chicago Bulls, the greatest dynasty of all time.
Right.
He tried to break them up. And you know what he did before he was general manager of the Bulls?
He was a scout, right? For baseball?
For the White Sox.
Yes.
Correct. The general manager of the Chicago Bulls was the scout for the White Sox. And he not only tried to break up the best team in the history of the NBA, he also told one of the best coaches, Phil Jackson, say what you want. He won it again with Kobe and Shaq.
Yeah, he had a nice little track record.
Right? Like, you know, you can tell who you want. Let me see what you got out there. Who's winning without those guys? He won, right? And he won multiple times with those guys. And this guy, Jerry Krause, told Phil Jackson, you could go 82-0, and this is your last year. Now, I ask you, how is that allowed?
I don't know. It's such a power struggle, right?
And no, but how do you tell? Forget the fact that he's a great coach, right? How in the world can you say it and say you go 82-0, you're not coming back?
Yeah, you're telling him preseason, like, I don't care what you do, you're not coming back.
If you're the owner, how do you go, yo, dude, you're not coming back? If you're Jerry Reinsdorf, how do you sit idly by?
Yeah, that's going to step in.
And let's go back to what happened here. And Andy Reid. And listen, you can say whatever you want about Andy Reid, and he didn't win here. However, when you do that, you also got to factor in Joe Banner. Because Joe Banner created the budget. And Joe Banner didn't allow Andy to have certain guys.
Right.
And so Andy makes the call that, well, I guess I'm going to go tackle an edge and spend my money and try to piecemeal other places. You can say whatever you want about Reed. Andy Reed didn't try to shortchange Terrell Owens, did he?
No.
Phil Jackson didn't try to shortchange Scottie Pippen.
No.
Did he?
Nope.
one of these dudes have any power. I'm talking all these GMs.
Your boy Klentak, yeah.
Why is Matt Klentak a general manager? What's he done?
I don't know. He must have been impressive.
How is he a general manager? Well, that's my point, is that these rich guys are dopes. They let their friends, they get wowed by anything. I mean, it's ridiculous.
All right, now let me ask you, who are some of the GMs?
Those should be GMs. Guys that coach. I'm serious. My GM would be a guy that was a coach, that understood scheme, that really understood nuance. And I get him a good cap guy. But the cap guy can't have the power. The cap guy has to be an appendage of the coach, who's my GM. And I'm not saying that the coach is the GM, like the guy actually on the field is my GM. He has to have been a coach.
Right, like you're saying one day down the road, like Andy Reid is just GM, not head coach anymore.
Right.
Would you go player? Because when you look at the Sixers, you have Elton Brand, who, longtime player.
Yes, I would go. I would go player in that. I think if the guy's smart and he understands. Right. Like, I think Elton Brand, and I know people are still upset with EB. I think Elton Brand's a smart guy. I still believe that Elton Brand is going to be a successful general manager in the NBA. I do. But, I mean, I don't understand how the power these owners, everybody else, you're not allowed to have a pick. Sorry, Jerry. It's for your own good. It's for the betterment of the franchise.
Right.
I mean, that's my point about these GMs. Where these guys come from nowhere, and Jerry Krause. Like, go back to that story. It's one of the most amazing stories in the history of sports. He's got Phil Jackson, one of the great coaches of all time, right, who is intact with a dynasty, having won, and he's wooing Tim Floyd, a dude from Iowa State. What sense does that make?
Yeah, it's not like he's giving him some sort of, like, you have to, like Brett Brown, for instance, right? You have to get to the Eastern Conference Finals this year, or it's your last year. It's not even that. He's saying, if you know, no matter what, you're done. Which is that was outrageous to hear that.
I'm telling you, I just don't understand. I don't understand where these guys come from. Seriously, you got to explain how that can happen.
Who are some of the GMs that you truly respect right now? Like, do you truly respect Mike Mayock?
I think Gruden's run that show.
That's what I'm saying, right? I think Gruden's calling the shots.
I think Mayock is. I think Mayock knows who he's looking at, right? I do. I respect Mike Mayock. I think he knows what he's doing.
I think he picked the wrong team to be hired by.
Well, I think Gruden is calling the shots. I think, but I'm all right with that. In that, to me, your coach should have a big say in the draft. I believe that. I'm a big believer in the coach / GM. Get the guy a cap guy and let him go to work. Nobody knows better. Nobody knows better about who you want as your team. If you're the architect, right, goes back to Parcells saying he's the chef, right? He should be able to pick out the ingredients. I agree with him. Because in your mind, in your mind's eye, you see how your offense wants to work or your defense wants to work, right? So if I have a good right-hand man who's my college guy, who's a guy that's been around, that's coached, that's been through me, who's truly came through the football side of it, then we should work together. It should be successful, no?
Yes, it should, but it also depends on who the coach is.
Yeah, I agree.
Right, because Brett Brown was interim general manager for a bit, right? And he signed players that he thought would fit his system, and they were Wilson Chandler and Mike Muscala. And how did that work? They end up getting traded, and eventually you get Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler. That was their best asset to the team, is being part of the Harrison Butler trades.
I mean, I hear you. I hear you. It's 11 o'clock. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. We're at Beasley Media Group Station.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.